Well, let's begin our study. Would you pray with me? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Amen. Every disciple has a calling from the Lord to be a blessing to other people. And not only do you have that calling, but God gives you power and authority. When you walk in the calling and you hold on to God and you hold on to his promises, you will personally experience breakthroughs too. And also other people will have breakthroughs in their lives because of you. Let me say this another way. You are called to be a blessing. Now, if there's someone sitting next to you, just smile at them and say, you're called to be a blessing. You, ma'am, you, sir, are called to be a blessing. And you have the power to bless. Would you tell that person sitting next to you that they have that kind of power? The power to bless? And I want to tell you one more thing. Wherever God sends you, he can use you to bless other people. Wherever he sends you. Okay, so say this with a smile to that person. Wherever he sends you, he can use you. If he sends you into a valley, he can use you. If he sends you on the mountaintop, he can use you. You have the power to bless. Now, let me tell you the truth. It's not because you're so great. Even though you are great. That's not why. It's because you are connected to God and the promises that God made to the patriarchs. Now, you have the power to bless, but you also have desire to bless. Isn't that true? You find yourself in situations where you want to bless people. You want to see people healed. You want to see people made whole. You want to see breakthroughs come. And the Holy Spirit is the one who puts these desires in you to bless other people. And the desire to bless others rises up in you, and it becomes powerful. Now, what's important for you is to say yes when that desire rises up. And say, Lord, here I am, and I will be obedient to open up and serve you. Because when you say yes to the Lord like this and you're open to him, he will use you. Now, let me tell you about a situation I had just yesterday. Someone came to my door, a person who's done some work for me in the past, and he asked if he could do some work. And I looked on his face and I thought he really needs work. You know, it's tough for him. But I told him the truth. I just couldn't make it work in my budget, so I asked him to come back in January and I give him some work. Well, he responded in a certain way, and I just looked in his eyes, and you know what? I knew I had to say yes to him. So it didn't fit in my personal budget, but I said yes. He offered to work at half the price that he should have, and I told him I couldn't let him do that. I was going to give him more than he was asking for. And he went to work and he did an amazing job last night, yesterday afternoon, last night, and this morning. And so I gave him what I agreed to, but when I went to get the cash, you know, out of the ATM, the Holy Spirit said to me, buy him and his family a grocery store card. Well, you know what? Can I tell you the truth? Do you mind if I tell you the truth? My heart was willing, but my flesh was weak. And my heart was willing, but I was thinking about what I was going to do with that money. I'm telling you the truth. And so I almost didn't do it. Almost. But I realized I had that feeling. Do you ever get this feeling when the Holy Spirit is telling you to do something that in principle you want to do, but you just don't want to do? And I had that feeling I would be so disgusted with myself if I didn't do it. And so I bought the card. It was for more than I wanted to spend. That's why it was hard, you see. It would have been easier if it was for less than what I had in mind. You see what I'm saying? Can I tell you the truth like this? So I got the card, and as I was going back home, you know, that flesh just rose back up. And you know what it said? It said, hold on to it and give it to someone else. And so when I settled up with him last night and then this morning, I had it in my pocket. And it was the hardest thing to reach for just a second. But I decided that it wasn't my idea. It was from the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Yesterday I was praying for our synagogue, and I was praying, Lord, let no child in our synagogue be hungry and lacking in food. Let us take care of everyone who's here. And then the Lord brought someone to my door, and I could tell there was hunger in his house. And so I gave him everything. I gave him twice as much as what he asked for. And I only did it for one reason. I wanted to be responsive to the Holy Spirit. And I have failed in times like that and been disgusted with myself. Have you ever been in that situation where you wish you had done what you knew the Lord wanted you to do, but you didn't do it? Well, yeah, I tell you the truth. After I did it, the Lord said to me, now that you've been obedient, you can ask for mercy for yourself. You see, I didn't do it to get mercy for myself. I did it to be obedient. That was it. If I was doing it in order to get something for me, I don't think I would get anything out of it. Because you have to give without regard to what you're going to get. You understand that? And so if you give with a good heart, you'll receive the same measure. If you give with a bad heart, guess what? What you receive will come to you the same way. Give and it will be given to you with the same measure that you use. And so now I have to make adjustments in my budget and deal with some things. But I can tell you this, my faith is strong because I was obedient. Every time you obey God, your faith gets stronger. Even if it doesn't work the way you want, when you want it, your faith gets stronger. And there's a reason. Faith comes by hearing the Lord and hearing the word of the Lord. And when it comes to you and you say yes to that faith, it makes you strong. Now, this is the same week I went back to the gym. And not only will faith make you strong and obedience make you strong, but trainers who are tough will make you strong. And I hate to tell you this, but after having gone on Tuesday, Wednesday, I sort of waddled around. Thursday morning, I dropped something on the kitchen floor and I couldn't pick it up. And I had to find some tongs to extend my reach. But by this morning, I was okay again, and I went again a second time. You see, we're in a season where we need to be strong, and we need to be strong in a lot of ways, strong in our faith, strong in doing good, strong in gratitude, strong in sharing good news, physically strong as well. Well, not only does God give you the desire to bless, He'll give you opportunities to bless, and that's why it's so important to take those opportunities, because they're born of the very things that God gave you when you had fellowship with Him. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask what you do desire and it will be done for you. And so you get desires that cause you to pray and to say, here I am, Lord. But when the opportunities come, sometimes the flesh doesn't agree with the desires of the Spirit. But here's the good news. You can be a new creation in Messiah. And that new you is the one who says yes and overrules the old you. Well, everyone who's been participating in the special prayer ministry that's been part of our 40 Days of Good News, those of you who have prayed and those of you who have received prayer, you know something about this because God's using those of you who pray. And he's giving to those of you who are receiving prayer. I saw a great example of this last week. I asked Aaron and Paula Fleming to pray for people Saturday at the end of the service. And I looked at their face when I called them up because I didn't ask them in advance. And they had that look of, you know, like the eyes got big, like you didn't tell me earlier. If you had told me, I could have gotten ready. And if I knew you were going to do this, I could have left the room already or something like that. Or I could have gotten my faith strong or whatever it would take. But I just felt I needed to be obedient to the impromptu prompting of the Holy Spirit. So they came up and you know, they're such dear people, but they were just wondering what's God going to do. And a couple comes to them. And the couple says, we feel like the Holy Spirit wants you to pray for us, but we don't know why. Now, the couple knew why they wanted prayer. They didn't know why Aaron and Paula were the ones they were being led to. And as they described to Aaron and Paula what they needed from the Lord, here's the amazing thing. Aaron and Paula had the exact same experience, and they were thus able to pray with sensitivity and power because they had victory in that situation. And they were able to encourage them after they prayed. It was like strong time. They went out to eat together. And they spent the whole afternoon together having fellowship and conversation while the children were playing. And they took it to a deeper level. Isn't that a good example? And you see, through that, the Lord showed something. He knows how to match up people so that the one who has the opportunity to bless can be matched up with the one who needs blessing. You have the power to bless. You get that power from the Lord. You see, you serve a God who blesses. He blesses you, and that's why you can bless other people. Think about this. If you even sneeze here in America, half the time or more, someone will say, God bless you. Now, why do they say that? You could say, well, it's superstition, and maybe there's something of that. But I think there's another reason. God has made it known to everyone that he blesses. And so it becomes like an instinctive response. God bless you. I don't know why when we sneeze, we need a blessing. You know, if you're afraid that they have a cold, you'd say, well, God bless me, that I don't get it. But we say, God bless you, because something in us, deep within us, that operates at the subconscious level most of the time, knows that God blesses. You have the power to bless. You see, God blesses you so that you can bless other people. And you inherited that power from Abraham. Let's look at Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. I want to speak this into your heart so that you can hold on to it and go deep inside of you. The Lord said to Avram, get out of your country, lech lecha, from your family, from your father's house, and go to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. Now look at this. I will bless you. Say that with me. I will bless you. Who's doing the talking there? God. And who's he talking to? Abraham. That's right. Avram, before he's even Abraham. I will bless you and I will make your name great. And then look at the next part. And you shall be a blessing. Some translations say, be thou a blessing, because it's more of a command than a prediction about the future. It's in the imperative. And a simple translation would be a blessing. So God says, I will bless you, you be a blessing. Now, be a blessing has two sides to it. Be a blessing to God, and then be a blessing to other people. Think about it. Baruch Ata Adonai, blessed are you, O Lord. Right? Every time we pray, before we eat something, when we have some good event, good experience, we say, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. And we go on to be specific. Blessed are you. You see, how do we know he's blessed? Well, he blesses. And so you know someone is a certain way because of what they do, how they manifest themselves. And then I love Psalm 103. I love Eric Painter's song that he's introduced in the last few worship times. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. Can you say that with me? Bless the Lord, O my soul. You see, you speak to yourself. You say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, and forget not all of his benefits. Forget not any of his benefits. You see, you bless God knowing he blesses you, and then you bless other people. So when God said to Abraham, I will bless you, you be a blessing. He's saying, well, be a blessing to me. You know, because if you're not a blessing to God, the whole thing doesn't work right. Be a blessing to God and be a blessing to other people. Then the Lord says, I'll bless those who bless you. That's good. I'll curse him who curses you. Be careful. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Martin Buber's translation shows it a little bit differently. He brings out an idea that it's more reflexive. In you, all the families of the earth will bless themselves. They'll learn to receive blessing from Abraham. You know, one day all the sons of Ishmael will learn to receive blessings from all the sons of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. It will happen. I will bless those who bless you, and you, all the families of the earth, will bless themselves. All the families of the earth. Say that with me. All the families of the earth. No one's excluded. No human beings. All the nations, all the tribes, all kinds of folk. Here's the good news. People who like you will be blessed. Here's the good news. People who don't like you will be blessed. They don't have to actually like you to receive everything God has. They just have to be in a right position. Well, many people would like to be a greater blessing to others, but they're not sure how to increase the power of their blessing and their effectiveness. And as we begin the Hanukkah season, this is a really good question. How do I grow in my own power to bless other people? That's a question we should be asking. Hanukkah means what? Dedication. That's right. And it's the commemoration of the rededication of the temple in Jerusalem in what year? Who knows? 167, 165. There's a little debate about the dates. BCE, before the Common Era. It's mentioned in what chapter in the Brit HaChadashah, the New Testament scriptures? John chapter 10. Good. 3 points over there. What verse? Come on. 22. Say John 22. No, don't say it. You see, this is like Simon Says. Okay, all of you have to leave the room. Now, John, I know I did, but John 10, 22. Okay, say it right now. Don't just John 10, 22. Don't just say it because I said it. Think a little bit, okay? What if I tell you to do something you shouldn't do? Yeah, don't do it. Okay, John 10, 22. Say that with me. John 10, 22. It was the Feast of Dedication. That's what the New International says. It puts in the footnote, it was Hanukkah. You know why? Because Chag Hanukkah is how you say the Feast of Dedication in Hebrew. But when you put Feast of Dedication, people read this, they have no idea what that is. Because most of the Jewish people all over the world don't say, let's celebrate the Feast of Dedication. They say, Happy Hanukkah. Hanukkah Sameach. And a few people here in America, interfaith couples, will say, Merry Hanukkah. Have you ever noticed it's never Happy Christmas? I don't know why. Well, Chag Hanukkah Sameach. That's one way of saying Happy Hanukkah. Another one is just Hanukkah Sameach. Say that with me. Hanukkah Sameach. Happy Hanukkah. Hanukkah is also called the Festival of Lights because of the miracle of the oil burning for 8 days in the temple. And all disciples are called to shine their light and to let the light of God come from them and bless other people. When does Hanukkah begin this year? Tomorrow, and that means Saturday night, December 8th, right? At sundown. You know, you can Google this, Hanukkah 2012, and what will pop up is the special screen if you're using an iPhone, and it will give you the starting date in the evening correctly and the ending date in the evening correctly. It does it just right. Congratulations, Google. Now, every Hanukkah, the Torah readings focus on the life of Joseph. Joseph's life helps us learn how to be effective in blessing other people. So let's just use one verse from the Torah portion this week in order to see that. It's Genesis 39, verse 5. And we'll use this verse from the life of Joseph to learn more about how to become a greater blessing no matter your circumstance, no matter your resources, and no matter your age. So let me just read this to you, and I'm going to assume, as Stephen assumed in Acts 7, that you have read this passage before and that you are familiar with the life of Joseph and the Torah portion for this week and next week and the week after that. You know, the writers of the book of Acts, all those who passed it down, assumed that everyone who read it would be familiar with it. That's why the executive summary that Stephen gives makes sense, is because you already know the details. Genesis 39:5 is what we're looking at. And so it was from the time that Potiphar had made Joseph overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that Potiphar had in the house and in the field. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this phrase, the blessing of the Lord. Say that with me. The blessing of the Lord. So, very simple question. What's the source of that blessing? The Lord. That's right, the blessing of the Lord. But who was the agent? Who was the person that God used to bring the blessing? Joseph. So it wasn't really Joseph's blessing, it was God's blessing, right? But it came through Joseph. You see, the Lord blessed the Egyptian, Potiphar. And the question is why? The text says the reason why was because it was for the sake of Joseph. Isn't that interesting? The blessing to Potiphar was for Joseph's sake. You see, God was using Joseph to bless Potiphar, but God was using Joseph to bless everything Potiphar had in the house and in his field. But God was not just thinking about Potiphar, he was thinking about Joseph. The Lord sometimes will use you to bless others so that the blessing will later return to you. Look at this with me. Yeshua said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, he said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be given to you. For with the same measure that you measure, it will be measured back to you. Another translation, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in the full. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured right into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. You see, sometimes the Lord wants to bless you, but he wants you to take the first step. He wants you to be the blessing, and then the blessing will come back to you. But some people wait until they feel like blessing before they bless. That's what I struggled with last night. I had a desire to bless, but when it became the opportunity and it was inconvenient and not fitting into my time and my budget, I didn't want to do it. I did it, and there's a reason I did it. Because I do things that I don't want to do. And I don't do things that I do want to do because I'm trying to live an obedient life. You can't just do what you want to do. It'll just get you in trouble. So some people will wait until they feel like blessing other people before they'll start. Now, if you want to increase your power to bless, I want you to think about Joseph, and I want you to think about how he did not wait until his circumstances got better. He blessed when he was in the worst of circumstances. Now, here's something you can always do. You can thank God for every blessing you receive. You know what I did today? I said, thank you, Lord, I have a job. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this. I'm trying to be concrete. And the second thing is you can keep your heart open for opportunities to bless. And then when those opportunities occur, you say yes, and that may be where you have to have the battle of faith, where you actually do what is in your heart to do, that you know the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Has anybody ever had that battle, or am I the only one? Not for my sake. Like, wave at me so you can see each other. Look around the room. Okay, a lot of us have to deal with this. Now, if your desire to bless other people has become weak, you need to find what it is that's draining you, that's keeping you from having a stronger desire. It could be your situation. It could be your attitude. You know, the situation can be poor, but the attitude can be good. Joseph was in a bad situation, but he had a good attitude. Some people have a good situation but a bad attitude. So it may be your situation that's straining you, and it may be your attitude, but it could be something else. And you can turn it around because Joseph did. You see, the power of blessing was at work in Joseph's life. It's one of the things that turns Joseph's life around. He harnessed the power of blessing. Think about how he got that job. Overseer. How many of you would like to be an overseer? You know, like in charge of everything, the big kahuna, the boss man. Well, how did Joseph qualify for that job? Here's the short story. His brothers got jealous. They sold him into slavery. He ended up in Egypt. Wah, wah. That's not how most of us want to get the promotion, right? We have a different way. Joseph was sold to Potiphar when he was a 17-year-old teenager. And you could not call it good fortune that brought Joseph to Egypt. Most people would say it was anything but good fortune. It was envy, jealousy, hatred, evil plans. But God was at work. And you know what? Because it was God who was at work, Joseph could be an agent of blessing. How do you know if God's at work? He starts telling you the work he wants you to do. He brings you someone he wants you to serve. That's work. He's giving you an opportunity to serve someone. That's a job. Take the assignment, do it faithfully, do it with all your heart, and bless the one you're called to serve, and God will make something good out of it. You see, Joseph blessed Potiphar. How did he know to bless Potiphar? Well, he was there to serve Potiphar. How do you know that? Well, he was Potiphar's slave. You see, in Hebrew, to be a servant and a slave, it's the same thing. So when it says servant of God, you could just as well say slave of God. And that's why the scripture says, do all of your work as unto the Lord. Because if you keep the Lord in mind wherever he's put you, he will be the one who watches over everything. So Joseph decided to bless Potiphar, and he put his heart into his service, into the way he would serve. He sought the Lord. Joseph obtained the blessing of the Lord, and the favor of the Lord was upon him, and all that he touched, he was successful. Everything he did worked out well, to the point that Potiphar did not even have to check anything. Everything was going so well. Now, at the same time, think about some of the obstacles that Joseph faced. The bitterness of slavery. You would think slavery would make a person bitter. It made the children of Israel bitter. It made the sons and daughters of Africa bitter when all of us were in slavery in our own times. Think of another obstacle, the loss of freedom. Think of the jealousy of his brothers. Think of the broken family relationships. Think of just being uprooted, being taken to a foreign country, having no personal power, having no personal money, having nothing. He was a slave. Those were his circumstances. And think about the attitudes that Joseph had to overcome. Hopelessness, despair, depression, bitterness, giving up, rejection, laziness. Why do I say laziness? Because sometimes when people are in difficult circumstances, they just get lazy. They say, it doesn't matter. I don't care. Who cares? And even self-rejection. What does that look like? What do I count? No one thinks I count. What does it matter if I do anything well? And then there's another side, self-recrimination. Do you know what I mean by that? Where a person says, it's my fault I'm in this circumstance. I got myself into this. If only I had talked to my brothers differently. If only, shoulda, coulda, all that stuff that can get a hold of us. But we're in the final weeks of 2012, and we're dedicating these to the good news. I want you to think about the good news of Yeshua. He had good news for the poor. And Joseph was a slave who had nothing. Yeshua had good news for the brokenhearted. You know that Joseph's heart was broken. Yeshua has good news for the captives. Joseph was a captive. He was a slave. And Yeshua has good news for the sick. Joseph was no doubt heart sick. His life was broken. His future was bleak. And yet, God poured out favor on Joseph and used Joseph to bless while Joseph was still a slave. He was still heartbroken, and he still had a broken life. Joseph poured out favor on Potiphar. You see, Joseph spent the rest of his life growing in his power to bless. But don't forget this. He had to walk through more valleys after he got promoted to overseer. He faced false accusations, unjust imprisonment, injustice, unfairness, but Joseph never gave up his power to bless other people. He was faithful to use that power even when he personally needed good news. And if you went to Joseph and said, how are things? When he was in prison, he probably would have said, they stink. If you're talking about circumstances. But you know what? He didn't let the circumstances rule his life. He was so faithful as a servant, he got promoted to be in charge of the prison that he was in prison. He was the prisoner in charge of everything. That's something. You see, he was faithful to use the power to bless even when he personally needed good news. And that may be why he was able later in life to be the very instrument of saving Israel during famine and rescuing Israel from her tribulations. You see, he was in a valley, but he kept blessing. And his father Jacob, do you remember, had been in the valley and he kept blessing. When Jacob was in the valleys with Laban, he blessed Laban and Laban prospered. But when Jacob left, do you remember, he left to go back home and he had to face that valley again of Esau, his brother, who hated him and maybe would take his life. And Jacob went through that valley in anticipating that was the night when he wrestled with God, the God-man angel. And he held on until he received the blessing. And he was intent. I've been blessing. I need your blessing to keep blessing. And so he got the blessing from God so that he could be a blessing. Joseph came from that. Do you see? His dad had a victory. After valleys, after 20 years of difficulty, after a long time of trouble, he had victories, and Joseph learned something. Don't stop holding on to the Lord. Hold on. Hold on to his promises. And Joseph did the same thing. You see, he held on to the promise of God, that God was going to raise him up one day and his brothers were going to come and recognize it and humble themselves. And Joseph held on to the power of blessing. That's what opened the doors for him to become the prime minister. Think of his great promotion. He goes from being prisoner to prime minister. I like to say a lot of politicians have something similar, you know, being criminals but Joseph wasn't a criminal, you see? He was unjustly in prison. When he was in prison, it was where the Lord wanted him. And when he came out and was brought into prominence as the prime minister, that's where the Lord wanted him so that Israel could be saved from the famine. Now listen, I struggled when I had to think about spending money I didn't want to and being a blessing last night. But can you imagine the struggle of Joseph? You know, he's tried to resolve all these things in his life and give honor to the Lord, and his brothers show up. And then there's that last fateful moment when he has to decide what is he going to do. And he takes the high road. He holds on to the power of blessing, and he decides, I'm going to bless my brothers. And he says to them, I'm Joseph, your brother. Yeah, the one you sold into slavery. And you meant harm and evil, but God was at work. And God meant it for good and has provided this very deliverance, this very blessing through what you did. What you did may have had evil intentions, but God got a hold of it. You see, when people get a hold of the power of blessing, then that mysterious force that changes the way the universe works starts working on their behalf. This is the force. Paul described it this way. God causes all things to work together for good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You see, that's a mystery. It means that the future is not set in certain respects. It can be changed. Whenever you're faithful to God, whenever you hold on to him, you hold on to his calling. You hold on to his purpose. He changes the outcomes. The circumstances may seem dreadful. Slavery, rejection. But the outcomes are completely different than what was planned. That's the God you serve. And let me tell you this, why you need to be so strong in being a power to bless is because so many people alive today need help. You're not the only one who has trouble. I'm not the only one who has trouble. Other people have trouble too. And some of them are crying out to God and saying, God, could you help me? And you know what? God hears them and he says, yes, I can. I'm going to send you to someone else. And they're going to give you something I gave them. Do you see? And that's why when you look at your stuff and you realize, I thought it was my stuff, I guess it's his stuff. That's when you enter into what the first generation of Messianic Jews were able to do. They counted all things as if it were held in common and for the good of all. They still had private property, but they managed it and were stewards of it as if they were stewards and not private owners only thinking about themselves. That pattern never made it outside to the Gentile world or the diaspora, even to the Jews outside of the early circle. But it still touches us sometimes today, doesn't it? When we realize God wants to use us to bless others. He'll bring you. He'll bring you people who need that blessing. Bless them even if you don't feel like it. Don't wait for the feelings. You start blessing other people in obedience to God, and the feelings will come. And once they come, don't stop. Be a blessing. You see, it's in your nature to bless. Now, tonight, as we're doing on Friday nights during these 40 days of good news, we're going to have a time to pray for people who need breakthroughs, who need victories, who need blessings, who need healings. And I want to invite some people to come down. Brian and Fran Stone, can you come down? And Alberto Valdivieso, can you come down too? I know you're doing something there, but pretty soon. You may have to wait just a second so you can turn things off when you need to. But in just a second, you'll be able to. Valentina Yevgeny Belosov, can you come down? And Brenda Miller, I want to ask you and Carol Cregan to come and pray for people together. Folks, hey, John, you're the perfect one to stand with Alberto. Come on down and pray for people. So after we conclude the service with Aaron's blessing, everyone who needs personal prayer, come down and you can come to one couple or, you know, two folks. You can come to two, three, four of them, however many you want to, and let them pray over you and bless you. If you need healing, come and ask them to pray for healing. If you need provision, come and let them pray for provision. If you want to grow in the power to bless other people, come and ask them to pray for you, that you could go out with power to bless others. Whatever it is that you need and want to receive from the Lord, and you know prayer's a part of it, come and get prayer, and it will make a difference in your life. Let's close with Aaron's blessing, and before you leave the room, decide who you're going to come and let pray for you. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha, Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen.